All right, hello again, and welcome to Keep It Close to Me, a podcast about the things we love and, you know, life and stuff. I'm Chris, I'm your host, your podcast pal, and with me today to talk about video games and things that we love, stuff that's good and is fun to talk about, is my buddy Matt.
Hey, everybody.
It's Matt Tran, who you know from Comics Rule Everything Around Me, and our last episode about video games, where we talked about Spider-Man for PS4 before it had come out. And now that it has come out and we have both gotten to play it, you much more than me, but we're going to talk about some other stuff as well, but let's just jump right into that and do some follow-up on what we think of Spider-Man now that it is out.
Yeah. So, I've still not beaten it, not finished it. I feel like I'm almost to the end.
And yet,
who knows?
Oh, and also, I guess we'll say there's probably going to be some spoilers in here.
I'll try not to, because okay. I don't want to spoil it for you or anybody really.
Yeah.
And I don't even know the big ending.
Yeah.
How much
did you say you think you're done with
it? I'm at about 85%.
Okay.
But
I think I'm at about 1%, 2%. So I just rented it though. Rented it because I was like, I could not justify buying it yet. Because I was like, I know I don't have time to like really devote a bunch of time to this. But I did desperately want to play it.
Well, so in the little bit you did get to play, did you enjoy it?
I loved the feel of it.
Yeah.
I loved it. This is the problem I basically have with almost every video game that's like a modern video game is so often I was like, I do not feel like I am in good control of the digital puppet I'm controlling. I was like, I'm trying my best, but like, man, that part that's where you're in that one big room and there's like, I guess it's where you're fighting the Kingpin at first.
Uh-huh.
Where you're in that big room and he's running at you. It just took forever for me to like get the hang of like how to beat him. Oh, and before that, when you're in that room and there's those like turrets that are shooting at you.
Yeah.
And like, they're like, you got to web them up and then do this, whatever.
They're just shooting me.
And I'm trying to jump around and swing and trying to be cool and be Spider-Man. And it's like, you can do this. And it's like every 15 seconds, it's a new like, stop. Now you've learned how to do this. And I'm like, did I? Did I learn how to do that? Because I got lucky. Yeah, I got real lucky on that one. I'm not sure what I pushed to do that. But it's like,
I definitely can't do it again.
Yeah. It's like, do this, 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 and this to activate this thing. And I'm like, guys, I'm hanging on by a thread here. Literally, Spider-Man joke. Hooray.
Yeah.
But I was super into the story. And I got, so your first boss battle is Kingpin.
Right.
I don't think anyone.
No, yeah, we can't. Yeah, I feel like the first level is okay.
Yeah, like, and I got past, I did beat him, and I got into the next bit of the story, and I was like, man, this is so cool.
Mm-hmm.
Just like, it felt great playing it, even from just an idiot's point of view, like me, who's like, in that I'm an idiot about, like, I'm not good at video games generally, and I didn't feel like I had full control of.
Right.
What I was doing. A lot of it, I was panicking and going, ha, 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 ha.
Yeah,
you know, let me try. But even with that, and I'm sure if I keep playing it once I do get it for real,
yeah,
I'm sure I want to hope that I will get better at it.
Right.
I want to hope.
You probably will. I mean, there's definitely a learning curve, but you'll get better. And what's great about the game is there's difficulty settings. There's an easy setting.
I put mine on
friendly neighborhood.
Yeah, I put mine on newborn infant, and it was still pretty tough.
I think amazing is the middle ground setting, and then the hard difficulty is spectacular. And I was actually on Twitter talking with a friend of the show, Brandon Medley, because mm-hmm. similar kind of thing. Like, I don't play a lot of video games, so that's why I've been hesitant to get it, even though it looks really cool. And then, of course, I mean, you always have the option just to watch a playthrough video if you just want to get the story. There's definitely nothing wrong with that. But then there is that easier difficulty setting that I feel like you probably get the hang of.
Were you playing it on easy or were you playing it on?
I'm a bit neurotic. when I play these games, I play them on the hardest possible difficulty setting.
Oh, no.
And it doesn't – anyway, in my own brain, the reasoning is I may not get a chance to play this game again. If this is the only time I get to play it, I want to like really play it, really beat it all the way. I don't want to beat it on easy and then go back and play the whole thing again on hard.
I don't agree with this at all.
I don't think it's normal. It's just how my brain works. So I do the hardest possible setting from jump.
Wow.
and so how that plays out.
Well, man, and then the fact that you are actually that you've done as much of it as you have.
But it took a while to get the hang of it. So how that strategy, if you can call it that, plays out in reality is in that first level where you're storming Wilson Fisk's, you know, headquarters, his building, I died over and over and over. Didn't feel very much like Spider-Man because, you know, fumbling and bumbling.
Oh, man, I had it on easy and I still felt like an idiot.
They're
like, guys, I think Spider-Man's drunk. The bad guys are just like, do we want to give him a minute? Calm down.
Spider-Man, you all right?
Everybody stop shooting at him for a second.
Yeah, but I died a lot in those first few levels while I was getting a hang of the controls.
Right.
So the game is very similar, you know, if listeners have played any of the Batman Arkham games, it has a lot of similarities. And that's not a bad thing. Like, it was a really good concept for how to do a superhero game. It does translate to Spider-Man really well. It might not translate to every superhero, but it does translate to Spider-Man, I think, really well. But I guess the ways that it's... The ways that it's similar is that you have similar type fighting styles. Sometimes it's a big brawl. Sometimes you're sneaking up on people and having to disable them that way. But I think what was difficult for me to get the hang of at first was how the controls are different from Batman. Like, you know, so one button, you know, in Batman is dodge. And so if you played three or four of those Arkham games, your muscle memory is triangle, dodge, or whatever it is. And Spider-Man, it's a different button entirely, circle. So I kept dying again and again and again because his spider sense would go off. And I'd be like, okay, no problem. Dodge, hit the wrong button, get shot. And so I think a biggest part of it was just getting my muscle memory mapped to those buttons.
You should have just changed the controller settings.
Yeah, I thought about that. But I didn't do that. But then once I got a hang of how to dodge, the combat system a little better, I don't like die every 5 seconds anymore.
Cool.
But quit bragging. But there are still some situations that are plenty difficult, and yeah.
Well, so let me ask you this. You know, of course, they've already now introduced this new version of Spider-Man, this PS4 version of Spider-Man, into the Spider-Man comics continuity, right, with the Spider-Geddon event that's going on.
Right.
Is that what it's?
Yeah, Spider-Geddon, a sequel to Spider-Verse from.
But it hasn't. Is it actually into the actual Spider-Geddon now?
Two issues in. Second issue came out today.
I couldn't remember.
As of recording. It may be done.
But no. This episode's going up this week. I'm determined. People will hear this episode toot sweet.
Yeah, it's out. I've not read any of it, but it's out.
Okay. What I was going to ask was, as a lifelong Spider-Man guy, how do you feel about this take on Peter Parker and Spider-Man's world? And is there stuff that you, well, one, how do you feel about it? But then is there stuff you really like? Is there stuff you really don't like their approach to
right.
it? Is there stuff that you wish would be incorporated into Spider-Man going forward, or that you wish had always been a part of the Spider-Man story? Now, you can spoil as much or as little as you want with me. It's fine. I'm only enough into it to go, like, so far I've liked a lot of the choices they've made.
I feel like I can talk about without spoiling it or spoiling like any big major plot things that you're like, oh, I wish you didn't steal that surprise from me. I think, honestly, I haven't played, again, most of the way through the game, so several hours invested. I think it is up there with one of the best portrayals of Spider-Man we've gotten in any medium.
What's the other stuff you would rank really highly? For me, I would say, I mean, since I'm asking you, and also to give you a second to think about it, I would put, the all-time high Spider-Man things outside of comics are Spectacular Spider-Man animated series.
Definitely.
I think that's probably the one of the best syntheses, if that's even the right way to use that word.
We'll allow it.
One of the best distillations of all these various Spider-Man things down into a way that it all makes sense, even though it's taking stuff.
That cartoon's wonderful.
The cartoon's incredible. Even though it's taking stuff from, you know,
different eras.
Yeah, from different eras, but finding a way to make them all work in the same story and kind of move some things around, mm-hmm. and just incredible. Obviously Homecoming, and then the first two Sam Raimi Spider-Man, and I love the third one. It's a mess of a movie, but it's sure. Like,
there's a good movie in there.
Yeah, and even if the movie itself is bad, there's parts in it that I love so much that I'd be like, yeah, I can't be mad. I can't stay mad at this movie. Come on.
It's not worth throwing out entirely for
the
bad parts.
Yeah. But also if someone's like, man, I hate that movie. I love Spider-Man, but I hate that movie. I'd be like, yeah, okay, I get
fair.
It.
Fair.
Yeah. I get it. So what are some of the ones that jump to you?
I mean, I agree 100%. The MCU Spider-Man. So the Homecoming Spider-Man is definitely a high watermark for the movies. I do like the Raimi. Honestly, I like every pretty much movie version there's been. I mean, some are stronger than others, but they're all good. The cartoons, I mean, you're absolutely right. The old 90s Fox one has a certain charm.
Yeah.
I think Ultimate Spider-Man, once it found its legs,
The
cartoon, yeah. The Disney cartoon had its moments. It was spectacular. I think Stan's Head and Shoulders is the best. Different comics portrayals. You just sometimes you read it and you're like, man, this is nailing the heart of it. And then sometimes it's just short of it enough that it's like, you just barely missed it.
So if you think that if this was someone's first or like main interaction with Spider-Man, someone who's just playing this game, they're not into comics, they haven't really paid attention to the Marvel movies, they're just playing this game because it's getting great reviews. You know, they're just like let's say that person theoretically exists. Do you feel like people just playing this game would get a good feeling for what really the character of Spider-Man is about?
100%. Awesome. Yeah. I think it captures, and something that's it's surprising that a video game would capture some of the areas that, you know, you don't normally think of in being a video game. Like it has really strong emotional beats, both fun emotional beats, sad emotional beats. And of course, you know, some of that's taken care of in cutscene type stuff.
Yeah.
You're not playing sad conversations. Now press A to like
start
well up a little bit to get misty eyed. But man, those scenes are in there. The scenes are incredibly well acted. There are strong emotional conversations between Peter and Aunt May, between Peter and Mary Jane. One thing that really surprised me, I didn't even know this was going to be in the game. So obviously you're going around doing action stuff as Spider-Man, but Spider-Man's also Peter Parker has a day job working at a laboratory with Otto Octavius before he becomes Dr. Octopus.
That was quite a surprise to me.
Yeah, he's like, I got to go to work now. And you just show up and you're in this lab coat and you're having to do science stuff, fix processors that are broken, do chemical spectral analysis and stuff. And it's like, oh, this is kind of a fun puzzle.
It does challenges. Give you a more fully rounded idea of what it's like to be Spider-Man.
And that's something, if there is a thing that Spider-Man in different media has missed, it's the science side of Peter Parker. Sometimes just for sake of streamlining a story, we leave out the fact that he's a brilliant scientist.
It seemed like they wanted to do a little bit of that with the Andrew Garfield ones, but that got lost in the hodgepodge of how awful those movies are.
Right. It never quite got there.
But I guess they basically kind of just dropped it in the second one more so, but it's in the first one, it seemed like that was something they wanted to try to focus on to go like, hey, no, this is what it makes us different from the Sam Raimi one. As another thing to distinguish themselves from the Sam Raimi.
Yeah, the mystery plot with his parents and stuff that he never really got brought out, even in the two movies.
We're talking about happy things here.
That's right. So, one of the things that really surprised me is the relationship between Peter and Otto, like, is so good and so well acted that I think that's the best portrayal. Maybe even better than anything we've seen in the comics. Like, this is the best portrayal of that.
Would you like to see that moved into?
I think it'd be really good.
Like a retconned.
It gives.
I don't know how.
Yeah, it gives Peter an emotional connection to Otto Octavius. I mean, in the comics he has one now because we're 800 issues in, and they have so much shared.
They've switched bodies.
So there's something there, and a lot of that's owed to Dan Slott. His last 100 or so issues that. Where he kind of built that connection, raised him up to really be Peter's premier villain, right up there, right neck and neck with Norman Osborn.
This is totally random, but it's just a thing I remember. So growing up, I always thought that Dr. Octopus was the main Spider-Man bad guy.
Really?
Yeah.
I would say Green Goblin.
Yes. Yeah. Now, once I got a little older, I shouldn't say grown. I mean, like, as a little kid.
Okay, okay.
I assumed that Dr. Octopus was the main guy.
Okay.
And this is all based solely on what toys were available.
Sure.
There was, with the Spider-Man figure I had in the toy line he was in, the only Spider-Man bad guy was Dr. Octopus. So,
yeah.
Up until I got old enough.
80 different Spider-Man suits and then one Dr. Octopus. It's
like, you know, it was in like a Marvel line where you've got Dr. Doom and Magneto and stuff. But with the things that go with them, it's like, you know, okay, Dr. Doom fights these guys and like Magneto fights the X-Men. And I just like, Dr. Octopus was basically the only Spider-Man villain I knew there was like a window in there where he was the only one I knew. So for all of my life, you know, up until I started like really having a better context for the character, I was like, oh, Dr. Octopus is the main guy.
Yeah.
And it was interesting then once I learned that wasn't the case to go like, oh, okay. So where does he fit in here? Like, is he number two then? And like, et cetera, et cetera.
Yeah. But I feel like he and Norman Osborn are tied for top villain now, like where Spider-Man stands in the comics right now.
In the comics now, Dr. Octopus is back to being a bad guy, right? Okay.
It's complicated.
Am I correct I think is going on is Dr. Octopus is now in a clone of Peter's body?
Yes.
Being the superior octopus?
Yes.
And a bad guy again.
No, not really bad guy. He's acting a lot like he did when he was Superior Spider-Man. He sees himself as a hero. I think he had a one-shot. I don't know if it was a one-shot or the first part of a limited series, but you know, one issue's out called Superior Octopus, and he's going up against Hydra and taking down some of the remnants of Secret Empire.
But I thought I saw something where he's actively against Peter.
I mean, his role in the story where he got that clone body, what was that clone story called? The Clone Conspiracy. he does some villainous things and some heroic things. Basically, his character is complex now.
Right.
He's not a simple villain. He definitely doesn't see himself as a villain, but most good villains don't. It's complicated.
Okay.
Yeah, he's not a full-on hero, or maybe more anti-hero, but he's not a full-on villain either. But anyway.
I was just so, it was so nice to see. I mean, and I know that this is kind of against the nature of monthly comics, but I loved this idea that Dr. Octopus is this guy who has been a thorn in Peter's side on both halves of his life, both sides of his life, since he was a teenager. And then they have this thing where, you know, Otto thinks he's basically finally beaten him and killed him and taken over. And then he realizes, oh, this kid is right. You know, like I'm the bad guy. And like, I've got to make this right for him to where he really becomes a good guy. And he's really trying. And, I loved that so much.
Yeah,
the idea that it's like Peter's ideals, even though you think he's lost, ultimately his ideals and who he is as a person do make Otto become a good guy, make him a better person.
Right.
And it's like, that's like the ultimate sort of level of heroism is when it's like your example inspires others to also try to be better.
And he's got Peter's memories. And
so the idea of him then just like going back to being a bad guy is
I don't think he is. I don't think they're going there with it. I mean, it depends on the writer.
I was kind of fine with him just never showing up again. You know what I mean? Like it was fine to me. It's like, if, man, you guys really did something. And again, this is the problem with sort of like serialized comics where nobody can ever really stay dead.
Right.
Or
I guess the conflict at the end of Dan Slott's run on Amazing, where when he brings Otto back, is Otto's mad with Peter, frustrated with Peter, because it's Otto, you know, in Peter's body that created the whole Parker industry, you know, this big successful corporation. And then Peter's kind of running into the ground.
Yeah.
And so he's mad. He's like, I gave you all this and you're just like,
you're wasting it.
Yeah. So he basically shows up on the scene to take the company back. And you know, they conflict over that and it ends up.
Oh man. And I just remembered what starts happening in Nick Spencer's run that also involves, Otto, not directly, but it does really involve that Superior Spider-Man mm-hmm. time. And I just remembered what, and I was like, oh no, I just remembered that, which it's not like it's bad story-wise, but it's a bummer.
Yeah.
And I'm like, oh man, I like when the shift, when it's, I hate how it's like anytime something is good or like a big change with these characters, sometimes it's always just like a ticking clock to when stuff's going to get back to normal.
Back to status quo.
Like yeah. with Peter running Parker Industries.
Yeah.
And like where you've got, you know, how they did that sort of split where it's like he's off doing globetrotting right. stuff. And like, he's got like all these cool gadgets and he's really like living up to his potential. He's got the new suit that has right. like the glowing spider and everything. And it has all these advancements. And that's one of those things where it's like, why would you ever stop using this and just get him right. back in that normal spandex, you know, outfit?
Yeah.
Like, let him have these things. There's no reason for him to stop using these things. Even if in one story, something happens where you're like, oh, it malfunctioned this right. time and that, you know, some enemy took advantage
of
it.
So it's not a super convenient plot. Like, yeah.
Yeah, but it's like, he's a smart guy. It's just like how Otto was like, why does he do it like this? This is dumb. Like, you know, yeah. you could be doing yeah. such a better job with this.
And that's what made that Superior Spider-Man so clever, is that I was right about a lot of
a bunch
things.
Of that stuff.
He
yeah.
crosses lines that Peter wouldn't and a person shouldn't, because that's who he is. But some of the stuff he was dead on.
Yeah, yeah. Like it's stuff where you're just going like, yeah, Pete, have that. It helps. You know, it's like, it's not cheating to yeah. have a thing that makes catching bad guys easier.
Right.
But I really like that idea that it's, I mean, and I know some people just want everything to sort of stay the same. Like, stuff happens, but it, I mean, and this is not like a hard and fast rule, because just as we were reading that Action Comics 1004 today, the you know, there's ideas where it's like, I actually kind of would like that to stay the
right,
same.
Right.
So it depends, but I mean, that's more on a, that's stuff that's on like a personal, anyway, that's totally yeah. getting away from the point.
Yeah. I thought of the second Sam Raimi Spider-Man movie did a good job with the relationship between
yeah,
Peter
yeah.
and Otto. I mean, with
it doesn't
with the friendship there.
It doesn't have as much time.
Right, right. Whereas in this game, you get the idea that they've been working together for a long time. And then you kind of slowly see Otto begin to change, and you see the emotional impact that has on Peter. And the emotional stuff they do between Peter and Mary Jane is really rich.
Do you think that the sort of emotional level of this story is better than in, say, like Arkham Asylum?
Yes, because Batman
yeah.
doesn't have flaws. He doesn't have emotional vulnerability.
Yeah,
he's just on all the time, and he's awesome, but I feel like it can't be. Peter Parker's just a different kind of character.
Yeah.
So he can do things. Again, the relationship with Peter and Mary Jane is set after they have dated in the past, but now they're broken up, but they're still kind of friends and they kind of want something more sometimes, but then there's, you know, Spider-Man's a problem. And so they're back and forth. It's just really interesting. And so, and again, all that stuff's well acted. You know, it looks really good on the screen, the way they've got it animated. Yeah, it's a really, really great game. I've loved it. I've enjoyed it. Another thing I really, really loved about it, and it's funny because in the last episode when we didn't know we were going to be able to do this, but the fact that you can costume change from the beginning. You don't have to play in any particular costume.
Boy. Yeah.
In fact, you can switch costumes every 5 seconds if you want to. There's nothing in the game keeping you from doing that. It'll even animate the cutscenes with you in whatever costume you've chosen, which is really cool. But you start out in a classic Spider-Man costume that gets beat up in that fight with Fisk. And then you design the new one, that big white emblem one that's on the cover. But then you don't have to stay in it. Yeah, the one that you got a t-shirt on it now.
Yeah.
You can then immediately go back to the old one if you want to. And then you start unlocking new ones really quick. So that was fun. So, to be able to switch those costumes.
The fact that you start in that classic Spider-Man costume, which I didn't think you were going to.
No, I didn't either.
Yeah. It's like, I thought they were going to have you in that PS4 one from Jump. And the fact that they're like, hey, we tricked you. We
yeah.
got you. Look, this couldn't be any more classic Spider-Man. Yeah. So cool.
But then, yeah, and then it gives the new costume. This is something different he designed.
It's yeah. Got,
yeah.
And it, so then when they, for me, I mean, which of course we talked about this, I'm like in the tank, I like that costume regardless.
Yeah. Yeah.
But
it's cool.
The way that they introduce it in the story, I was like, oh, this is super cool. Who could get mad at this?
Yeah.
Who wouldn't like this? The way that they do this.
And then, and the fact that you're not stuck with it, if you don't like it,
yeah.
is great.
Yeah.
And they do have so many different costumes.
Of course, you do get some of those things. It's like, you know, there's benefits to different costumes, right?
Right, and that's wild too. Like, I don't play enough video games to know if this is a thing that other games do well. I know Batman doesn't do this, but changing the costumes, it doesn't have to be purely
cosmetic.
Yeah, it's not purely cosmetic. It can be, but then also you can mod his abilities. Each new costume comes with a set, and you can mix and match. You can have the ability for Scarlet Spider.
They listen to what we were saying.
That's it, man. we got to go fix all this retroactively. But yeah, you've got several. There's like a main primary ability, and then three secondary abilities that you can kind of switch out that correspond.
Actually, I read like a behind the scenes thing that was talking about how originally before. They heard our episode of the podcast. they had him not even in that suit the whole time. He was in that suit in the very opening thing, and then the whole rest of the thing, he was just in like a t-shirt and jeans.
Yeah,
very weird choice.
People weren't feeling it.
Well, yeah, but then they heard what we said, and they were like, "Oh, guys, you know what would be better? These guys, I think this is what we should do." Even though that episode came out after the game came out, somehow
it makes sense if you don't think about it. Yeah, I love that the costume change isn't purely cosmetic. That you've got different abilities that kind of affect different things and buff them in different ways. And
yeah,
it's a really great game.
Yeah,
I really love it.
Cool. Then let me ask you this, kind of along these lines. Speaking of like the emotional stuff, and like you said, Spider-Man's a problem. That made me think. So as a someone who is married with kids, if you suddenly got spider powers. Mm. One and you, it's exactly like Spider-Man. You realize you're literally Spider-Man now.
Right.
Would you immediately tell Jackie?
Probably.
Okay.
I need to go to the doctor.
Can't help it. Like you go outside and like, hey, you know how our car, I couldn't lift it before, but now I can. Remember how I used to not be able to stick to things?
Yeah.
But also, would you be Spider-Man?
Hmm. Yeah, I don't know. You would definitely feel like, I mean, the whole Spider-Man thing, you've got to use those powers responsibly. They've been entrusted to you. If you don't do anything with them, that's not really morally right either.
It's negligence.
But
it's,
then, yeah.
It's like Peter says in Civil War.
If you can do the things I can do, but you don't. Yeah.
When bad things happen, it's on you.
Yeah. So now, does that translate? I don't know that translates real world into being a vigilante superhero.
Well, what would it translate into then?
I don't know.
What else is there for it to translate into?
Yeah. I mean, who knows?
Would it be more, would it be more morally sort of responsible to become a
super EMT or something? I don't know.
Or I was going to say like a insanely good basketball player makes a ton of money and then uses that money.
Yeah, the LeBron James style to start schools.
And, yeah.
Maybe so. But then you get kicked out of the league though because you have a clear advantage.
They don't know. You tone it. You'd kind of.
I think you become a wrestler, right? Make some fast cash.
Well, I think we've seen how that goes.
I don't know. I think, yeah, I guess you could fight.
I guess you could play every crime. Sport, really.
Yeah. I think the government would want to do experiments on you.
So
yeah,
I want to tamp that down. I don't know. That's kind of that thing.
What about you? If you woke up with
spider powers? Oh my gosh. I would be out the window and
jumping and leaping and running.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I'm already kind of running and jumping any opportunity I get, you know, to jump up onto and off of stuff.
Yeah.
And I don't have spider powers. So if I could, man, if you could take that and then, oh, and I'm definitely not going to get hurt. And it's like, boy, but then, yeah, I don't know. It's like, I go, maybe you would want to keep it from everybody.
I'm trying to think of extreme sports you could do that you wouldn't do now, but with that danger warning sense, it'd be a lot safer.
Yeah. Wow.
Like downhill skiing and stuff.
Where the real money is. But I mean, you could do it into kind of anything, like, you know, speed racing.
Yeah.
Anything where danger is a possibility.
And that warning would help out.
Yeah. That warning.
But yeah, probably the best thing to do though is just go out and keep your neighborhood safe and web up ne'er-do-wells.
Yeah, exactly.
Put a note on them.
Yeah, but it does make you kind of think like, well, if you can make a bunch of money playing basketball and then do that, might do more than just stopping street level crime.
Yeah.
You know, then if you instead you're using that money to like fund anti-crime campaigns in your neighborhood, or, you know,
work smarter.
Yeah, not harder.
The whole superior spot, you're thinking too small.
Yeah. Interesting. Folks, if you've got ideas on this, what you would do with spider powers, what you think is the more morally responsible way to use spider powers in the real world, let us know. Tweet at KICTM podcast, or you can tweet at me and Matt at the Chris Haley at XA Matt Drain. All of this stuff is, of course, in the show notes. You can use that to find links to all the things we talk about, and et cetera, et cetera. And I obviously love to hear from what everybody else would do with their spider powers.
Yeah, what are we not thinking of?
Yeah, there's surely things that are, and as soon as we stop recording, it'll all like, oh, you could do this. I can't think of, I'm completely at a blank for that. But so, I think we clearly are in the tank for this game.
Yeah, play this game.
We totally approve, or would totally recommend it,
or at least watch a playthrough of it or something.
Give them some money. This game, yeah. I mean not that this game isn't already just
doing, I think it broke some records for Sony
doing gangbusters. The thing that I was like, so I thought was so cool was that it's got like one of the highest completion rates for like a AAA title game, you know, like where people are enjoying it so much they really want, you know, that you're seeing, so like
the story is compelling. It's not just, play the sandbox of it and get bored. Like, I want to see where it's going.
Yeah. But speaking of Spider-Man and such, we also saw the new Venom movie.
Mm-hmm.
Venom without Spider-Man.
Yeah.
Which really makes precious little sense. But
Venom all alone.
So
Spider-Man far from home. Venom all alone.
I saw somebody's theory that the reason there's no Spider-Man in it is because it's taking place in a post-Infinity War world. But that also doesn't make sense because everything seems pretty normal.
Well, and did the snap erase their past from existence? Or, I guess we don't know.
So spoilers for Venom if you haven't seen it already.
Infinity War.
Well, I mean, come on. If you haven't seen Infinity War by now, I don't know what to tell you. If you haven't seen Infinity War by now, you probably aren't listening to this.
That's true. So spoilers for Venom.
Spoilers for Venom. But just off the bat, I don't think we've even really talked about this. Just we'll do base level. Just what did you think?
It was okay.
Okay.
I didn't love it, but I don't know that it's the movie's fault. I think, I'm mad that it's not more.
Are you
directly
too much of a Spider-Man guy to give it a fair shake?
I think that's it. Okay. I think I'm really unfair.
No, I mean,
yeah, I'm mad.
I don't mean a fair shake.
No, I'm just kidding. I'm mad it doesn't have a better tie to the MCU than it does. Like,
which seems
like a missed opportunity.
Yeah.
Because it's cool, you know, the stuff that it got right, which I'll give it that. There's stuff that it got right. There's stuff that it was fun. But I think, man, it could be even better if it had a clear tie to the MCU and we're going to see crossovers with Tom Holland and the other characters. So it's hard for me to get past being a little mad-headed about that. Yeah.
Why? So, you know, now I'm just thinking about it. It's like, you know how Venom looks like Spider-Man.
Right.
Like Monster Spider-Man.
Monster Spider-Man, yep.
You know, the reason he has those big eyes is because that's what Spider-Man's costume looked like. That's the whole thing. When other symbiotes show up from space, why do they also look like big Spider-Man eyes?
Yeah. Yeah, why do they?
Like in the comics.
It's not.
I get it.
There's no reason they should.
I get it. Like Carnage looks like
Venom. That makes sense.
Looks like Venom. But why do the other? They've
but when
those...
we meet, when we meet the planet of the symbiotes, and recently in Marvel, they start calling them the Clintar. Like, why do they have Spider-Man
why
faces?
Why do they all get Spider-Man
It's a little
faces.
Bit, yeah, like a chicken and the egg thing. Did somehow the symbiotes incept the idea into Peter's
also,
mind?
Also, can I just say, you said symbiotes right then, and that
the
sounds...
The movie doesn't say it that way.
They say symbiote, which sounds so weird
I guess
to me.
It's a potato-potato thing.
Yeah, but I feel like, you know, like on the... I think the way that I was going from it was that, like, you know, on the Spider-Man cartoon in the 90s, I'm pretty sure they said symbiote.
Okay. And that's probably where I would have gotten it from, because that would have been right around the time I started reading.
Yeah. So, but symbiote.
They really stress
They
that
really
out.
Do, man. Even in the trailers, we call them symbiotes.
Symbiotes.
Yeah. Call them symbiote meal. The, yeah, so that, so I'm totally derailed us on that thing.
I just thought about the Harry Potter spell that where they stress the O.
Oh, Leviosa.
Leviosa.
Yeah, not Leviosa.
Symbiote.
But it's like, what made me think of that was just was going like, okay, this has nothing to do with Spider-Man. Venom still has those Spider-Man eyes
right
in the movie.
They do remove the symbol. It doesn't have the spider
which
symbol.
Which makes him really boring looking.
Exactly.
I mean, anything. I don't know why you would have a logo.
There's some white and some color.
Something.
In there.
But then it's also then the other symbiotes too, when the spoiler, there's others in the movie.
Yeah. But not the good ones you're wanting
yeah,
to
but
see.
But not those.
They're those.
Like, they've got the Spider-Man eyes too. They got the big eyes too. It's like, why do they all look alike? Like, even if let's just say it, people don't all look alike. Why would these symbiotes all look alike?
True.
You know, even though there's like a little bit of variation in their coloring or whatever, but they basically look
So this is not even necessarily a Venom the movie problem. It's a Marvel Comics problem too. Like if Spider-Man came first, why is there a whole planet of beings that never met him that look like him? So if you had to write the letter to Stan Lee to get your no prize, why do symbiotes look like Spider-Man?
Yeah.
If Spider-Man came second.
Yeah.
Did they somehow
I'm just picturing
the idea,
you know, like
into
in
Peter.
In like Maximum Carnage or something, you know, in one of those things in the 90s where you've got like Riot and whatever the other symbiotes.
And the other ones.
And the rest. You know, you've got all those other ones, Shriek or whatever. You know, you've got those other ones that show up and they're all like basically, they all kind of just look like Venom.
Different colored Venom.
But different colors. Yeah, and it's like, why? Except they don't all have... logos.
Yeah.
Venom should have had, I mean, Carnage should have had a Spider-Man thing going too.
Yeah.
But so, it could have been even more creepy looking.
When I was a kid and first reading Carnage, what I thought they were going for was a Spider-Man with his skin ripped off and just the muscles.
Ooh, that's
like
like Carnage is definitely a look. Yeah. You know, it is like, it's an intense
He's
look.
He's got a look.
Yeah. And it works for Carnage, but I think it's diminishing returns on every other one.
Yeah.
That's not.
Now there's a purple one. Now there's a green one.
Yeah. And
his hair is a little different.
Yeah. This one's got crazy long hair, but it's still basically the exact same. It's Venom with a wig. you know, it's Venom, but purple.
Wiggum.
Wiggum. Yeah. It's That's Chief nothing. Wiggum from The Simpsons with the Venom symbiote. Oh, then I did it. I said symbiote. After trying to, like, I'm not going to do that. Anyway, I think that part of the thing is that I went into the movie with such low expectations based on just sort of like what all the behind the scenes stuff we'd heard and just kind of the thing like this. I enjoyed it. I fully understand and appreciate how much of a mess parts of it were. There's stuff that just doesn't work at all or is like really dumb. You know, I don't know any way to say it other than it's like there's parts that are just like, why did you do? You guys painted yourself into this corner with some of the, it's like you didn't have to do it like this. Why on earth did you do it like this?
Right.
But I still like I was like, oh, that could have been way worse.
Yeah, it's true.
And so just because I know how much worse it could have been, it was easy for me to go like, hey, that was fun.
Yeah,
it was cool. And like, I think that Tom Hardy
is
great.
Best part.
He's like, I mean, he basically, And I was talking to Jordan Gibson about this, where, you know, he was like, I really like how much of a character they turned.
And I don't know what in the world character he was playing, but it works.
Yeah. Yeah. He was like, I like how much of the stuff, you know, the stuff they kind of added to Eddie to make him more of a character. And I was like, well, yeah, I guess they really didn't have a choice, but to turn him into more of a, to give him more of a character that's sort of like,
outside. He's real two-dimensional.
Yeah, yeah. He kind of, I mean, like, they've done a lot of stuff with him since, you know, over the last, whatever, 20 years or whatever. Sure. But the characters, but yeah, it's one of those things where you're just kind of like, I guess they didn't really have a choice, but other than to make him more of a character you could like.
He's a little, a little bit of an oddball. Yeah.
He's a little weird, but he's obviously a good guy.
Mm-hmm.
A selfish, maybe, you know, or a guy who doesn't think things through.
And that, I think that comes back to bottom. I mean, it does a good job showing the consequences of that selfishness.
Yeah.
It's something the story does well. It's neat kind of making him like this, investigative reporter, but kind of like street level. Yeah, it's a neat.
A guy who goes out and, like, he's not just a reporter. He's a guy who actively, like, gets in trouble trying to pursue the truth.
But, like, but almost like, I mean, they do show him having a job at a corporation, but I feel like he's like throwing his stuff up on YouTube and Twitter like just real raw video. He's there, they're on the front lines. But yeah, that stuff was neat. That's a neat way to do it. A review that I kept seeing that I feel like was a really accurate way to think about it is I saw several people talk about it. It feels like a superhero movie that would have come out in the early 2000s before they figured out the best ways to make a superhero movie.
Yeah.
Like it's rough around the edges in the way that some of those old superhero movies were that were coming out in like 2001, 2002, 2003.
Yeah. That's a perfect.
Yeah. It's like Venom, but they didn't learn from the last 15 years of superhero filmmaking, to rise to the same heights as like an MCU movie. So what it gets right is good and fun. There's some stuff that's just like, that's just dumb. We know better than that.
Yeah. It's like there have been so many movies just from Marvel alone,
right,
that have shown a way that you can avoid some of these things where it's like, well, even in the commercials, look, and so this is in the trailers and stuff. So this is not at all a spoiler. Mm-hmm. It's in every, it was like the shot was in every trailer and commercial basically for the movie. The fact that the end of the movie is just Venom fighting a bigger Venom.
Just a big CGI.
Grayer Venom. You know, like, and it's just that shot where it's, and it's just a big CGI mess. And it's like,
you can't even tell what's happening.
Yeah. Like, and the way, I was just like, just seeing that in the trailer made me go like, oh, it's going to be one of these. And I felt like I could sort of plot the entire movie out without even seeing it.
You really can.
And for the most part, yeah, I was like, yep, there's that. There were a couple nice little surprises in there.
But they're minor plot points, the surprises are. You can put together the major
You could very easily put together the plot. I mean, maybe not the exact specifics of what and what, you know, like why the bad guy is doing this, but you could plot out the whole movie.
But yeah, that's one of those ways. It's like some of those older superhero movies where the final act is just a big CGI mess of in the dark. So I went and saw it with a student and we were talking after, like, I felt like I was kind of quick with this, but I just threw out there, man, I feel like every single MCU movie is better than that one. And he's like, really? Everyone started listing ones and I'm like, okay, maybe it's not quite. Because he's, well, what about Incredible Hulk?
That's what it feels like. That's exactly what it feels
similar
like.
Similar to that. Yeah, that final battle between Hulk and Abomination.
It feels like this movie could have also come out in 2008.
Yep.
With like, I guess Hulk, was that in 2008 or was it 2009?
I think it was right after Iron Man.
Yeah. So, yeah, but it's like, I think Iron Man came out in the summer and then that came out in like November or something.
That sounds right.
But it was like, Iron Man's got the same thing where it's like, he battles a bigger, grayer version of himself.
Yeah.
And then Hulk, it's like a bigger, grayer version of Hulk.
And we've grown past that.
Yes.
This feels like it's still back then.
It's still doing that. And not to say that more of the Marvel movies haven't done that thing where it's like the guy basically fights a bad guy version of himself.
It's common.
Yeah, but you could do it a lot of different ways.
Yeah.
And honestly, I mean, and not to get too into all of the plot, so much of the bad guy makes no sense. And it's all just down to the script. It's not even
he's an evil Elon Musk.
kind of guy, but he's also, he seems like a, he starts off seeming like a pretty good dude. And it's like his turn is so,
yeah,
un, if there was like something that was like really driving this for him, like when he's talking to those kids that are like coming to visit,
yeah,
the building, and he's like actually there doing the tour sort of,
right?
Like he seems like a good dude. He doesn't seem like he's just putting this on. He seems like he's genuinely like, I love science, and kids, if you get into science, this is the kind of stuff we're working on. And it's like, if there was some kind of thing that really...
Something needed to happen to him?
Something happened to him, or something that's like, something that puts a real sort of emotional impetus on him to go like, I have to figure this.
Yeah, or it could be as simple as a symbiote gets on him and it overrides him. Like, sure. Eddie's able to kind of find balance, but here's what happens when you don't find balance. And one of these evil alien things has more of a control. And
But, or something where it's like, you know, he's got a kid. Like, and that's why he loves the kids coming to visit so much.
Yeah.
But he's got a kid that's really sick.
And maybe the symbiote's the key to
it. And he's like, he realizes when, and he finds the symbiote by accident or something, you know, just on that ship that he had out there. You know, it's like, that comes back and they're like, oh, this is weird. What is this? And then they find out it has these properties. And then he's like, oh my gosh, this could be the cure to help my son or daughter or whatever. And then it's like, there's only one, and it's, you know, but it, and it's taken off with Eddie, and he's like, I have to get this thing back.
Right.
Like, then you go, okay, I get it. I get why he's so dead set on this. Cause it really doesn't make so you want to go to space.
Yeah. Like, you're doing all this stuff, and all of a sudden you want to be,
and you're like,
that's why I felt he was a little bit of an Elon Musk character, in that he's just all over. I want to be on the cutting edge of every field of science.
So maybe it's a little too realistic.
Yeah.
Yeah, if there was just something to make him go, I have a clear reason for why this is so important to me. So he's not just so one-dimensional, just like, oh, he's the bad guy, so he's got to do the bad guy thing. And then instead of having him be a big CGI mess fighting Venom also, you know, you've got, he's using all this technology that's at his disposal instead.
That'd be interesting.
Like he's doing like, he's got, you know, because they do all this different stuff. So he's got like sonic weapons, you know, which or he's got all robotics stuff, you know, or he's got all this military stuff that he does, that like, that's how he's made a bunch of his money, to fund all this other stuff and use all that. So then it's like, you can tell what's going on. It's not just two CGI slimy monsters falling around, you know, jumping all over the place. Like, and if I can think of this stuff, someone who's getting paid tons of money in Hollywood should be thinking of these things.
They really should. And like, also, if you've already done that for the first movie, how do you make a fight where he's fighting another symbiote monster meaningful in the sequel and different?
Yeah.
You know, that's And the problem is at the very core of in a movie without Spider-Man, because man, if Spider-Man is in there, you've got that conflict built in.
Yeah.
And it's the problem, I guess, with where Sony's positioned themselves going forward for everything. A Kraven movie, you know, where Kraven's the main character, you know.
You guys can't, or maybe you can hear me just shaking my head.
Yeah, please no. But
please.
Yeah, Sony wants to just line him up, Morbius the Living Vampire, but without Spider-Man.
That's one, you know what, I'll give Morbius.
I mean, yeah,
you can do
he doesn't need Spider-Man in the same way Venom and Kraven.
Yeah, but Venom and Kraven are like, yeah. Also, but it's like, all right, if you do Kraven, what, is he going to be a good guy? Like, Kraven's not a good guy at all. With Venom, you're at least, you've got some kind of like...
There's an anti-hero precedent.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But Kraven's just a...
And Kraven, not without hunting Spider-Man, what's he going to be hunting? Just animals?
I really hope that... Oh, boy.
And I want to say a more recent thing about Kraven said that Spider-Man might... is more likely to be involved in that one. It's not going to be totally absent like Venom, but still just the approach of Kraven's the main character.
The fact that
the
Sony
adversary of a Spider-Man movie,
the fact that Sony genuinely put out a press release at one point that said they were going to make a movie about Aunt May shows you how creatively bankrupt they are.
Yeah.
It's like they have no interest. It doesn't matter at all whether or not they have a good idea, or if it's a good idea,
I don't know if it's still getting made, but they're talking about a Silver Sable and Black Cat And it's like, if you've read comics, what do those two have to do with each other? How is that a...
Well, they are two ladies.
They're in the Spider-Man property
list. They both know Spider-Man. They
pushed across my desk.
What are you talking about? they're two ladies, and we have the rights to them.
They both have white hair, and we have the rights to both.
So what's the problem?
Throw it out there. I want to see that script on my desk by Monday.
I want to see that movie finished. I don't care about a script. Just go
movie
make
movie first, script second.
But just make sure that it's got Jessica Chastain and, you know, somebody else.
Yeah. And another one.
Just go find two women. Women are very popular right now.
So the head of Sony's film division as J. Jonah Jameson saying, bring me movies. Bring me movies about Spider-Man.
Bring me Spider-Man movies. Spider-Man. No Spider-Man. Oh, man. Yeah, that's going to definitely be how I picture Sony Studios from now on.
You should draw that.
Bring me movies about Spider-Man, but no Spider-Man. No, I don't want him in there anywhere.
Yeah.
That's like, I told you I've been on this Friday the 13th kick lately.
Yes.
Which is another thing I'd love to talk. And speaking of video games, I'm not going to get into the whole thing, but I did just get the video game, the Friday the 13th video game as well. I got it for $10. I got the very last copy in the city of Memphis,
wow,
apparently. Got it for 10 bucks. Thanks, Target. But there's like, so the guy who was sort of like the original creator of Friday the 13th was Sean Cunningham, who was like a guy who... He had made some other like movies. He's kind of like a low budget movie producer. And Halloween came out, the original one. Speaking of stuff that's, man, now that's a movie when talking about turned out great. Opposite of Venom, not opposite, but oh, it is. It's definitely in the same vein where you've got a character who is a bad guy, and in there, you know, the Venom one goes one way with it, and also a movie that could have turned out horrible.
Okay.
And they did a great job with it, as opposed to Venom, where it was like, they did a pretty good job with it. It could have been way worse. The Halloween one could have been way worse. It was great. So Halloween is like one of my all-time favorite movies, the original. John Carpenter is like, I have...
Did John Carpenter do the more recent one or no?
He's the executive producer and story consultant, and he did the music with his son and the guy. He's in a band. He's got a band with his son. And it's like the soundtrack is incredible.
So he's involved. In a meaningful way.
And supposedly the story is that he's basically involved from jump with it.
Okay.
What were we talking about? Oh, Sean Cunningham. Halloween came out. It was a huge hit. Sean Cunningham was basically like, oh, let's just rip that off and make a movie and make money. And he didn't even have a script or anything. He was just like, he put out a full page ad in one of the trades that was like, from the people who brought you something, it was like Friday the 13th, just another spooky holiday name. They didn't have a script. He didn't even know what it was going to be.
He had a poster.
Exactly. He basically just put it out there and was like, let's see who bites on this as like wanting to be involved with it. And people did. And then he was like, oh, okay, now we got to do a script.
Seen no Friday the 13th, did they have any big name actors in that first one? Or
Kevin Bacon's in it.
Okay.
It's like one of his first things, but it's
before he was Kevin Bacon.
Yeah, people didn't know who he was. But Sean Cunningham did that first one and then basically had nothing to do with the franchise after that. I mean, he was still getting money for it, but he wasn't like creatively involved.
Right.
And then he comes back with...
For the game.
No. He comes back for Friday the 13th 9, which is Jason Goes to Hell.
Okay. How many have there been?
12.
Okay.
The next one, which is supposedly... Hey, speaking of LeBron, his... he's got a production studio that is supposedly wanting to do a new remake of Friday the 13th with this, since Halloween has been such a hit.
Okay. And I guess last year It was remade and did well.
Yeah. But of course it's not like a slasher, like Friday the 13th and Halloween. Well, I mean, Friday the 13th being a direct ripoff of Halloween. I mean, Sean Cunningham has said as much. That's not like,
right.
But he comes back and this is finally all getting back to the point of what we were talking about. Where he comes back, and spoilers, if you haven't seen him, Jason's not even in the first Friday the 13th.
Is he not?
Well, he is. He's a little kid. He's a little kid who dies.
Okay.
He's not the killer in Friday the 13th, in the first one.
Okay.
Matt's mind has been blown.
So the first one was just kind of a happy story about childhood.
Well, except that the little boy dies in it, but
okay.
But yeah, it's a family movie, really.
Yeah.
Kevin Bacon befriends this young boy and teaches him how to dance. But Sean Cunningham comes back. And by this point, it's the ninth one. And he doesn't direct it, but he's just involved with it now because the rights for the movie went to a different movie studio. And they brought him back to like, let's show them this is like a new thing. And, you know, like we're really, this is going to be a big whatever. And the first, like one of the first things Sean Cunningham says is, I don't want to see that hockey mask. It's like, you can bring, you can do whatever with, you know, blah, blah, whatever with Jason, but I don't want to see
that's
that hockey
his whole
mask.
Look.
Yes, exactly. And it's, it, that's that thing of like,
iconic.
Yeah. And it's kind of that thing of people going like, wow, sometimes people don't know what makes a thing good.
And he's the creator of it, but somehow,
but
missed.
He didn't write it. It's, okay. And there's actually, there's just a lawsuit has just been settled. Where the guy who wrote the script for the original Friday the 13th
trying to get rights,
and he won. He got the rights to it, but it also, but what he actually, he only has the rights to the stuff that's in the first script, which Jason, as Jason, like nothing like this is in the first movie.
The iconic evil hockey player.
Yeah, that version of Jason is nowhere in that. So it's one of those things where he's probably,
does he wear the same outfit as Halloween? Killer Michael Myers?
No. Michael's
looks
got
pretty similar.
Yeah, kind of. But I mean, Jason has got a bunch of different outfits over the years, and like different looks. And Michael Myers,
but the hockey mask is the consistent thing.
Yeah,
ish.
This would be a whole nother podcast if I start getting into this stuff.
We'll save it.
Yeah, but But it's, that's the thing. It's, that's what it reminds me of with these Sony guys where they're like, oh yeah, we've got the rights to this, make it, but it can't have anything to do with Spider-Man. And it's like, okay, well then why are you making it?
Yeah. Just make something else.
Find something
if
else.
You want to make hunting guy, like make that, but don't call it Craven.
Don't call it Craven. Cause that character's already got stuff associated with him. Right. That people are going to expect to see. And if and you just, don't do it,
like save him to be a great Spider-Man adversary in a future sequel, like, because we're starting to run out of big Spider-Man villains. Spider-Man's got a big depth chart with his rogue gallery, but
also, I trust Marvel to take anybody and turn them into a character that's worth seeing. Because I think that Vulture is probably the most compelling Marvel villain out of any of these movies.
Absolutely great. Yeah.
I mean, and part of that, of course, is Michael Keaton. Like, I mean, if I was trying to think of like, if you put any other actor in that, it probably
wouldn't be as good. He's amazing.
It would still be good,
I trust the MCU to bring any rogue in and make them that level. But anyway.
Yeah. Anyway. So this has been fun. I think we already discussed where to find us on Twitter. Is there anything else you want people to check out or know about? You're doing a very fun Spider-Man based Inktober.
Yeah, yeah. If you follow me on Twitter, it's at @XAMattDrain. And I've been doing a Spider-Man themed Inktober. So every day of October, trying to do Spider-Man drawing and ink, going along with a certain prompt.
Doing the official Inktober prompts?
Yeah, I'm doing the official prompts. That helps me. Like, that gives me, I think I would be stuck.
It's like we talked about that little bit of,
boundaries are good for us.
Sometimes. In a lot of
creatively, it's counterintuitive. Like those restraints will actually help you to be more creative. So
they help
I like
you
the
focus
prompts.
In. Yeah.
Yeah. Sometimes the prompts are a stumper. Like I can't think of any good Spider-Man related ideas. Usually if I think on it long enough, I'll get something. And then some of them I've been not real happy with, but you get to do another one tomorrow. So
yeah,
you can go check that out. Maybe you'll like it.
Yeah. And like I said, Matt's Twitter bio or Twitter link, the link to Matt's Twitter account will be in there. Yeah. It will be in the show notes at keepitclosetome.com, which you probably already know if you're already listening to this. I don't know how else you would stumble across it just randomly, but thanks so much for listening, everybody. Thank you to everyone, all Patreon supporters, it's super cool. If you have left a review for the show on iTunes, especially a good review, a positive review, that's super appreciated. I can't thank you enough for all of that stuff. And like we said, if you've got anything you want to talk to us about regarding Friday the 13th, Spider-Man, spider powers, what you would do with your powers,
games. No prize worthy idea of why the symbiotes look like Spider-Man.
Any of that stuff, send them to us at KICTM Podcast. On Twitter, And I think that's about it, guys. And I'll just leave you with this. We can mention that it happened. It was fun. You know, but, I mean, I didn't have anything like really notable.
Okay.
Go like down. Cool that story. Was worth getting into.
Yeah, have Chris Claremont come up and say, man, I really
love that one you guys did where you were making fun of me. that one where you guys
really got me there.
You really roasted me on that one. Yeah, no. You're like, boy, John Byrne hates you guys. My friend John Byrne told me. He read that comic you guys did about him, and boy, he really wants to shoot you. Yeah, nah, I don't think so.
Okay.
All right, so let's get to it.